another sip of my wine. It was a crisp and nicely chilled Sauvignon Blanc I'd picked up on the walk home. That was my reaction, too. I'm still not sure I didn't hallucinate the conversation while overdosing on his pheromones.
So?
I tucked my legs beneath me on the couch and leaned into the corner. So what?
You know what, Ava?
Grabbing his netbook off the coffee table, Carrie propped it on his crossed legs.
Are you going to tap that or what?
I don't even know him. I don't even know his first name, and he threw that curveball at me.
He knew yours.
He started typing on his keyboard.
And what about the thing with the vodka? Asking for your boss in particular?
The hand I was running through my loose hair stilled. Mark is very talented. If Cross has any sort of business sense at all, he'd pick up on that and exploit it.
I'd say he knows business.
Carrie spun his netbook around and showed me the homepage of Cross Industries, which boasted an awesome photo of the crossfire.
That's his building, Ava. Gideon Cross owns it.
Damn it. My eyes closed. Gideon Cross? I thought the name suited him. It was as sexy and elegantly masculine as the man himself.
He has people to handle marketing for his subsidiaries. Probably dozens of people to handle it.
Stop talking, Carrie.
He's hot, rich, and wants to jump your bones. What's the problem?
I looked at him. It's going to be awkward running into him all the time. I'm hoping to hang on to my job for a long while. I really like it. I really like Mark. He's totally involved me in the process, and I've learned so much from him already.
Remember what Dr. Travis says about calculated risks? When your shrink tells you to take some, you should take some. You can deal with it. You and Cross are both adults.
He turned his attention back to his internet search.
Wow. Did you know he doesn't turn 30 for another 2 years? Think of the stamina.
Think of the rudeness. I'm offended by how he just threw it out there. I hate feeling like a vagina with legs.
Carrie paused and looked up at me, his eyes softening with sympathy. I'm sorry, baby girl.
You're so strong. So much stronger than I am. I just don't see you carrying around the baggage I do. I don't think I am most of the time. I looked away because I didn't want to talk about what we'd been through in our pasts. It's not like I wanted him to ask me out on a date. There has to be a better way to tell a woman you want to take her to bed.
You're right. He's an arrogant douche. Let him lust after you until he has blue balls. Serves him right.
That made me smile. Carrie could always do that.
I doubt that man has ever had blue balls in his life, but it's a fun fantasy.
He shut his netbook with a decisive snap.
What should we do tonight?
I was thinking I'd like to go check out that Krav Maga studio in Brooklyn. I'd done a little research after meeting Parker Smith during my workout at Equinox, and as the week passed, the thought of having that kind of raw physical outlet for stress seemed more and more ideal. I knew it wouldn't be anything close to banging the hell out of Gideon Cross, but I suspected it would be a lot less dangerous to my health. Chapter 3.
There's no way your mom and Stanton are going to let you come out here at night multiple times a week,
Carrie said, hugging his stylish denim jacket around him even though it wasn't more than slightly chilly. The converted warehouse Parker Smith used as his studio was a brick-faced building in a formerly industrial area of Brooklyn, presently struggling to revitalize. The space was vast, and the massive metal delivery bay doors offered no exterior clue as to what was taking place inside. Carrie and I sat in aluminum bleachers, watching a half-dozen combatants on the mats below.
Ouch!
I winced in sympathy as a guy took a kick to the groin, even with padding that had to sting.
How's Stanton going to find out, Carrie?
Because you'll be in the hospital.
He glanced at me.
Seriously, Krav Maga is brutal. They're just sparring and it's full contact. And even if the bruises don't give you away, your stepdad will find out somehow. He always does.
Because of my mom. She tells him everything, but I'm not telling her about this.
Why not?
She won't understand. She'll think I want to protect myself because of what happened, and she'll feel guilty and give me grief about it. She won't believe my main interest is exercise and stress relief. I propped my chin on my palm and watched Parker take the floor with a woman. He was a good instructor, patient and thorough, and he explained things in an easy-to-understand way. His studio was in a rough neighborhood, but I thought it suited what he was teaching. It didn't get more reality-based than a big empty warehouse.
That Parker guy is really hot, Carrie murmured.
He's also wearing a wedding band.
I noticed. The good ones always get snatched up quick.
Parker joined us after the class was over, his dark eyes bright and his smile brighter.
What did you think, Ava?
Where do I sign up? His sexy smile made Carrie reach over and squeeze the blood out of my hand.
Step this way.
Friday started out awesome. Mark walked me through the process of collecting information for an RFP, and he told me a little more about Cross Industries and Gideon Cross, pointing out that he and Cross were the same age.
I have to remind myself of that, Mark said. It's easy to forget he's so young when he's right in front of you.
Yes, I agreed, secretly disappointed that I wouldn't see Cross for the next 2 days. As much as I told myself it didn't matter, I was bummed. I hadn't realized I'd been excited by the possibility that we might run into each other until that possibility was gone. It was just such a rush being near him. Plus, he was a hell of a lot of fun to look at. I had nothing nearly as exciting planned for the weekend. I was taking notes in Mark's office when I heard my desk phone ringing. Excusing myself, I rushed over to catch it. Mark Garrity's office.
Ava, love, how are you?
I sank into my chair at the sound of my stepfather's voice. Stanton always sounded like old money to me, cultured, entitled, and arrogant. Richard, is everything okay? Is Mom all right?
Yes. Everything's fine. Your mother is wonderful, as always.
His tone softened when he spoke of his wife, and I was grateful for that. I was grateful to him for a lot of things, actually, but it was sometimes hard to balance that against my feelings of disloyalty. I knew my dad was self-conscious about the massive differences in their income brackets. Good, I said, relieved. I'm glad. Did you and Mom receive my thank you note for the dress and Carrie's tuxedo?
Yes, and it was thoughtful of you, but you know we don't expect you to thank us for such things.
Excuse me a moment. He spoke to someone, most likely his secretary.
Ava, love, I'd like us to get together for lunch today. I'll send Clancy around to collect you.
Today? But we'll be seeing each other tomorrow night. Can't it wait until then?
No. It should be today.
But I only get an hour for lunch. A tap on my shoulder turned me around to find Mark standing by my cubicle.
Take two, he whispered. You earned it.
I sighed and mouthed a thank you. Will 12 o'clock work, Richard?
Perfectly. I look forward to seeing you.
I had no reason to look forward to private meetings with Stanton, but I dutifully left just before noon and found a town car waiting for me, idling at the curb. Clancy, Stanton's driver and bodyguard, opened the door for me as I greeted him. Then he slid behind the wheel and drove me downtown. By 20 after the hour, I was sitting at a conference table in Stanton's offices, eyeing a beautifully catered lunch for two. Stanton came in shortly after my arrival, looking dapper and distinguished. His hair was pure white, his face lined but still very handsome. His eyes were the color of worn blue denim, and they were sharp with intelligence. He was trim and athletic, taking the time out of his busy days to stay fit, even before he'd married his trophy wife, my mom. I stood as he approached, and he bent to kiss my cheek.
You look lovely, Ava.
Thank you. I looked like my mom, who was also a natural blonde.
but my gray eyes came from my dad. Taking a chair at the head of the table, Stanton was aware that the requisite backdrop of the New York skyline was behind him, and he took advantage of its impressiveness.
"Eat," he said,
with the command so easily wielded by all men of power, men like Gideon Cross. Had Stanton been as driven at Cross's age? I picked up my fork and started in on a chicken cranberry, walnut, and feta salad. It was delicious, and I was hungry. I was glad Stanton didn't start talking right away so I could enjoy the meal, but the reprieve didn't last long.
"Ava, love, I wanted to discuss your interest in Krav Maga."
I froze. "Excuse me?" Stanton took a sip of iced water and leaned back, his jaw taking on the rigidity that warned me I wouldn't like what he was about to say.
"Your mother was quite distraught last night when you went to that studio in Brooklyn. It took some time to calm her down and to assure her that I could make arrangements for you to pursue your interests in a safe manner. She doesn't want—"
"Wait." I set my fork down carefully, my appetite gone. "How did she know where I was?"
"She tracked your cell phone."
"No way," I breathed, deflating into my seat. The casualness of his reply, as if it were the most natural thing in the world, made me feel ill. My stomach churned, suddenly more interested in rejecting my lunch than digesting it. "That's why she insisted I use one of your company phones. It had nothing to do with saving me money."
"Of course that was part of it, but it also gives her peace of mind."
"Peace of mind? To spy on her grown daughter? It's not healthy, Richard. You've got to see that. Is she still seeing Dr. Peterson?" He had the grace to look uncomfortable.
"Yes, of course."
"Is she telling him what she's doing?"
"I don't know," he said stiffly. "That's Monica's private business. I don't interfere."
No, he didn't. He coddled her, indulged her, spoiled her, and allowed her obsession with my safety to run wild. She has to let it go. I've let it go.
"You were an innocent, Ava. She feels guilty for not protecting you. We need to give her a little latitude."
"Latitude? She's a stalker!" My mind spun. How could my mom invade my privacy like that? Why would she? She was driving herself crazy, and me along with her. This has to stop.
"It's an easy fix. I've already spoken with Clancy. He'll drive you when you need to venture into Brooklyn. Everything's been arranged. This will be much more convenient for you."
"Don't try to twist this around to being for my benefit." My eyes stung, and my throat burned with unshed tears of frustration. I hated the way he talked about Brooklyn like it was a third-world country. "I'm a grown woman. I make my own decisions. It's the goddamn law."
"Don't take that tone with me, Ava. I'm simply looking after your mother. And you."
I pushed back from the table. "You're enabling her. You're keeping her sick, and you're making me sick, too."
"Sit down. You need to eat."
"Monica worries that you're not eating healthy enough." "She worries about everything, Richard. That's the problem." I dropped my napkin on the table. "I have to get back to work." I turned away, striding toward the door to get out as quickly as possible. I retrieved my purse from Stanton's secretary and left my cell phone on her desk. Clancy, who had been waiting for me in the reception area, followed me, and I knew better than to try to blow him off. He didn't take orders from anyone but Stanton. Clancy drove me back up to Midtown while I stewed in the back seat. I could bitch all I wanted, but in the end, I wasn't any better than Stanton because I was going to give in. I was going to cave and let my mom have her way, because it hurt my heart to think of her suffering any more than she already did. She was so emotional and fragile, and she loved me to the point of being crazy about it. My mood was still dark when I got back to the crossfire. As Clancy pulled away from the curb, I stood on the crowded sidewalk and looked up and down the busy street for either a drugstore where I could get some chocolate or a cellular store where I could pick up a new phone. I ended up walking around the block and buying a half dozen candy bars at a Duane Reade on the corner before heading back to the crossfire.
I'd been gone just about an hour, but I wasn't going to use the extra time Mark had given me. I needed work to distract me from my crazy-assed family. As I caught an empty elevator car, I ripped open a bar and bit viciously into it. I was making strides toward filling my self-imposed chocolate quota before I hit the 20th floor when the car stopped on the 4th. I appreciated the added time the stop gave me to enjoy the comfort of dark chocolate and caramel melting over my tongue. The door slid apart and revealed Gideon Cross talking with two other gentlemen. As usual, I lost my breath at the sight of him, which reignited my fading irritation. Why did he have that effect on me? When was I going to become immune? He glanced over and his lips curved into a slow, heart-stopping smile when he saw me. Great. Just my crappy luck. I'd become some kind of challenge. Cross's smile faded into a frown.
"We'll finish this later," he murmured to his companions without looking away from me.
Stepping into the car, he lifted a hand to discourage them from following him. They blinked in surprise, glancing at me, then Cross, and then back again. I stepped out, deciding it would be safer for my sanity to take a different car up.
"Not so fast, Ava."
Cross caught me by the elbow and tugged me back. The door shut, and the elevator glided smoothly into motion. "What are you doing?" I snapped. After dealing with Stanton, the last thing I needed was another domineering male trying to push me around. Cross caught me by the upper arms and searched my face with that vivid blue gaze.
"Something's wrong. What is it?"
The now familiar electricity crackled to life between us, the pull made fiercer by my temper. "You."
"Me?"
His thumbs stroked over my shoulders. Releasing me, he withdrew a lone key from his pocket and plugged it into the panel. All the lights cleared except for the one for the top floor. He wore black again, with fine gray pinstripes. Seeing him from the back was a revelation. His shoulders were nicely broad without being bulky, emphasizing his lean waist and long legs. The silky strands of hair falling over his collar tempted me to clench them and pull. Hard. I wanted him, as pissy as I was. I wanted a fight.
"I'm not in the mood for you now, Mr. Cross."
He watched the antique-style needle above the doors mark the passing floors.
"I can get you in the mood."
"I'm not interested." Cross glanced over his shoulder at me. His shirt and tie were both the same rich cerulean as his irises. The effect was striking.
"No lies, Ava. Ever."
"That's not a lie. So what if I'm attracted to you? I expect most women are." Wrapping up what was left of my candy bar, I shoved it back into the shopping bag I'd tucked into my purse. I didn't need chocolate when I was sharing air with Gideon Cross. "But I'm not interested in doing anything about it." He faced me then, turning in a leisurely pivot, that ghost of a smile softening his sinful mouth. His ease and unconcern aggravated me further.
"Attraction is too tame a word for,"
he gestured at the space between us,
"this."
"Call me crazy, but I have to actually like someone before I get naked and sweaty with him."
"Not crazy," he said, "but I don't have the time or the inclination to date."
"That makes two of us. Glad we got that cleared up."
He stepped closer, his hand lifting to my face. I forced myself not to move away or give him the satisfaction of seeing me intimidated. His thumb brushed over the corner of my mouth, then lifted to his own. He sucked on the pad and purred.
"Chocolate and you. Delicious."
A shiver moved through me, followed by a heated ache between my legs as I imagined licking chocolate off his lethally sexy body. His gaze darkened, and his voice lowered intimately.
"Romance isn't in my repertoire, Ava, but 1,000 ways to make you come are. Let me show you."
The car slowed to a halt. He withdrew the key from the panel, and the doors opened.
I backed into the corner and shooed him out with a flick of my wrist. I'm really not interested.
We'll discuss.
Cross caught me by the elbow and gently but insistently urged me out. I went along because I liked the charge I got from being around him and because I was curious to see what he had to say when afforded more than 5 minutes of my time. He was buzzed through the security door so quickly there was no need for him to break stride. The pretty redhead at the reception desk pushed hastily to her feet, about to impart some information, until he shook his head impatiently. Her mouth snapped shut, and she stared at me as we passed at a brisk pace, her eyes wide. The walk to Cross's office was mercifully short. His secretary stood when he saw his boss's approach, but remained silent when he noted that Cross wasn't alone.
"Hold my call, Scott,"
Cross said, steering me into his office through the open glass double doors. Despite my irritation, I couldn't help but be impressed with Gideon Cross's spacious command center. Floor-to-ceiling windows overlooked the city on two sides, while a wall of glass faced the rest of the office space. The one opaque wall opposite the massive desk was covered in flat screens streaming news channels from around the world. There were three distinct seating areas, each one larger than Mark's entire office, and a bar that showcased jeweled crystal decanters, which provided the only spots of color in a palette that was otherwise black, gray, and white. Cross hit a button on his desk that closed the doors, then another that instantly frosted the clear glass wall, effectively shielding us from the view of his employees. With the beautiful sapphire-hued reflective film on the exterior windows, privacy was assured. He shrugged out of his jacket and hung it on a chrome coat rack. Then he returned to where I'd remained, standing just inside the doors.
"Something to drink, Ava?"
"No, thank you." Damn it. He was even yummier in just the vest. I could better see how fit he was, how strong his shoulders were, how beautifully his biceps and ass flexed as he moved. He gestured toward a black leather sofa.
"Have a seat."
"I have to go back to work."
"And I have a meeting at 2. The sooner we work this out, the sooner we can both get back to business. Now sit down."
"What do you think we're going to work out?" Sighing, he scooped me up like a bride and carried me over to the sofa. He dropped me on my butt, then sat next to me.
"Your objections. It's time to discuss what it's going to take to get you beneath me."
"A miracle." I pushed back from him, widening the space between us. I tugged at the hem of my emerald green skirt, wishing I'd worn pants instead. "I find your approach crude and offensive." And a major turn-on, but I was never going to admit it. He contemplated me with narrowed eyes.
"It may be blunt, but it's honest. You don't strike me as the kind of woman who wants bullshit and flattery instead of the truth."
"What I want is to be seen as having more to offer than an inflatable sex doll." Cross's brows shot up.
"Well, then."
"Are we done?" I stood. Wrapping my wrist with his fingers, he pulled me back down.
"Hardly. We've established some talking points. We have an intense sexual attraction, and neither of us wants to date. So what do you want?" "Exactly. Seduction, Ava? Do you want to be seduced?"
I was equally fascinated and appalled by the conversation. And yes, tempted. It was hard not to be while faced with such a gorgeous, virile male so determined to get hot and sweaty with me. Still, the dismay won out. Sex that's planned like a business transaction is a turnoff for me.
"Establishing parameters in the beginning makes it less likely that there'll be exaggerated expectations and disappointment at the conclusion."
"Are you kidding?" I scowled. "Listen to yourself. Why even call it a fuck? Why not be clear and call it a seminal emission in a pre-approved orifice?" He pissed me off by throwing his head back and laughing. The full, throaty sound flowed over me like a rush of warm water. My awareness of him heightened to a physically painful degree.
His earthy amusement made him less sex god and more human. Flesh and blood. Real. I pushed my feet and backed out of reach. Casual sex doesn't have to include wine and roses, but for God's sake, whatever else it is, sex should be personal. Friendly, even. With mutual respect at the very least. His humor fled as he stood, his eyes darkening.
There are no mixed signals in my private affairs. You want me to blur that line? I can't think of a good reason to.
I don't want you to do jack shit, besides let me go back to work. I strode to the door and yanked on the handle, cursing softly when it didn't budge. Let me out, Cross. I felt him come up behind me, his palms pressed flat to the glass on either side of my shoulders, caging me in. I couldn't think of my own self-preservation when he was so close. The strength and demand of his will exuded an almost tangible force field. When he stepped close enough, it surrounded me, closing me in with him. Everything outside that bubble ceased to exist, while inside it my entire body strained toward his. That he had such a profound, visceral effect on me while being so damn irritating had my mind spinning. How could I be so turned on by a man whose words should have turned me completely off?
Turn around, Ava.
My eyes closed against the surge of arousal I felt at his authoritative tone. God, he smelled good. His powerful frame radiated heat and hunger, spurring my own wild desire for him. The uncontrollable response was intensified by my lingering frustration with Stanton and my more recent aggravation with Cross himself. I wanted him. Bad. But he was no good for me. Honestly, I could screw up my life on my own. I didn't need any help. My flushed forehead touched the air-conditioned glass.
Let it go, Cross. I am. You're too much trouble.
His lips brushed behind my ear. One of his hands pressed flat to my stomach, the fingers splaying to urge me back against him. He was as aroused as I was, his cock hard and thick against my lower back.
Turn around and say goodbye.
Disappointed and regretful, I turned in his grip, sagging against the door to cool my heated back. He was curved over me, his luxurious hair framing his beautiful face, his forearm propped against the door to bring him closer. I had almost no room to breathe. The hand he'd had at my waist was now resting on the curve of my hip, tightening reflexively and driving me mad. He stared, his gaze searingly intense.
Kiss me, he said hoarsely. Give me that much.
Panting softly, I licked my dry lips. He groaned, tilted his head, and sealed his mouth over mine. I was shocked by how soft his firm lips were and the gentleness of the pressure he exerted. I sighed, and his tongue dipped inside, tasting me in long, leisurely licks. His kiss was confident, skilled, and just the right side of aggressive to turn me on wildly. I distantly registered my purse hitting the floor. Then my hands were in his hair. I pulled on the silky strands, using them to direct his mouth over mine. He growled, deepening the kiss, stroking my tongue with lush slides of his own. I felt the raging beat of his heart against my chest, proof that he wasn't just a hopeless ideal conjured by my fevered imagination. He pushed away from the door, cupping the back of my head and the curve of my buttocks. He lifted me off my feet.
I want you, Ava. Trouble or not, I can't stop.
I was pressed full body against him, achingly aware of every hot, hard inch of him. I kissed him back as if I could eat him alive. My skin was damp and too sensitive, my breasts heavy and tender. My clit throbbed for attention, pounding along with my raging heartbeat. I was vaguely aware of movement, and then the couch was against my back. Cross was levered over me, with one knee on the cushion and the other foot on the floor. His left arm supported his torso while his right hand gripped the back of my knee, sliding upward along my thigh in a firmly possessive glide. His breath hissed out when he reached the point where my garter clipped to the top of my silk stocking. He tore his gaze away from mine and looked down, pushing my skirt higher to bear me from the waist down.
"Jesus, Ava."
A low rumble vibrated in his chest, the primitive sound sending goosebumps racing across my skin.
"Your boss is damned lucky he's gay."
In a daze, I watched Cross's body lower to mine, my legs sliding apart to accommodate the width of his hips. My muscles strained with the urge to lift toward him, to hasten the contact between us that I'd been craving since I first laid eyes on him. Lowering his head, he took my mouth again, bruising my lips with a fine edge of violence. Abruptly, he yanked himself away, stumbling to his feet. I lay there, gasping and wet, so willing and ready. Then I realized why he'd reacted so fiercely. Someone was behind him. Chapter 4. Mortified by the sudden intrusion into our privacy, I scrambled up and back into the armrest, yanking down my skirt.
2 o'clock appointment is here.
It took an endless moment to realize Cross and I were still alone in the room, that the voice I'd heard had come through a speaker. Cross stood at the far end of the sofa, flushed and scowling, his chest heaving. His tie was loosened, and the fly of his slacks strained against a very impressive erection. I had a nightmare vision in my head of what I must look like, and I was late getting back to work.
Christ.
He shoved both hands through his hair. It's the middle of the fucking day. In my goddamn fucking office. I got to my feet and tried to straighten my appearance.
Here.
He came to me, yanking my skirt up again. Furious at what I'd almost let happen when I should be at work, I smacked at his hands.
Stop it! Leave me alone!
Shut up, Ava,
he said grimly, catching the hem of my black silk blouse and tugging it into place, adjusting it so that the buttons once again formed a straight row between my breasts. Then he pulled down my skirt, smoothing it with calm, expert hands.
Fix your ponytail.
Cross retrieved his coat, shrugging into it before adjusting his tie. We reached the door at the same time, and when I crouched to fetch my purse, he lowered with me. He caught my chin, forcing me to look at him.
Hey,
he said softly.
You okay?
My throat burned. I was aroused and mad and thoroughly embarrassed. I'd never in my life lost my mind like that, and I hated that I'd done so with him, a man whose approach to sexual intimacy was so clinical it depressed me just thinking about it. I jerked my chin away. Do I look okay?
You look beautiful and fuckable. I want you so badly it hurts. I'm dangerously close to taking you back to the couch and making you come till you beg me to stop.
Can't accuse you of being silver-tongued, I muttered, aware that I wasn't offended. In fact, the rawness of his hunger for me was a serious aphrodisiac. Clutching the strap of my purse, I stood on shaky legs. I needed to get away from him, and when my workday was done, I needed to be alone with a big glass of wine. Cross stood with me.
I'll juggle what I have to and be done by 5. I'll come get you then.
No, you won't. This doesn't change anything.
The hell it doesn't.
Don't be arrogant, Cross. I lost my head for a second, but I still don't want what you want. His fingers curled around the door handle.
Yes, you do. You just don't want it in the way I want to give it to you. So, we'll revisit and revise.
More business. Cut and dried. My spine stiffened. I set my hand over his and yanked on the handle, ducking under his arm to squeeze out the door. His secretary shoved quickly to his feet, gaping,
as did the woman and two men who were waiting for Cross. I heard him speak behind me.
Scott will show you into my office. I'll be just a moment.
He caught me by reception, his arm crossing my lower back to grip my hip. Not wanting to make a scene, I waited until we were by the elevators to pull away. He stood calmly and hit the call button.
5 o'clock, Ava.
I stared at the lighted button. I'm busy.
Tomorrow, then.
I'm busy all weekend. Stepping in front of me, he asked tightly.
With whom?
That's none of your... His hand covered my mouth.
Don't. Tell me when, then. And before you say never, take a good look at me and tell me if you see a man who's easily deterred.
His face was hard, his gaze narrowed and determined. I shivered. I wasn't sure I'd win a battle of wills with Gideon Cross. Swallowing, I waited until he lowered his hand and said, I think we both need to cool off. Take a couple days to think. He persisted.
Monday after work.
The elevator arrived and I stepped into it, facing him. I countered. Monday lunch. We'd have only an hour. A guaranteed escape. Just before the doors closed, he said,
We're going to happen, Ava.
It sounded as much like a threat as a promise.
Don't sweat it, Ava, Mark said, when I arrived at my desk nearly a quarter after 2. You didn't miss anything. I had a late lunch with Mr. Lehman. I just barely got back myself.
Thank you. No matter what he said, I still felt terrible. My kick-ass Friday morning seemed to have happened days ago. We worked steadily until 5, discussing a fast food client and contemplating some possible tweaks to ad copy for a chain of organic grocery stores.
Talk about strange bedfellows, Mark had teased, not knowing how apt that was in regard to my personal life.
I'd just shut down my computer and was pulling my purse out of the drawer when my phone rang. I glanced at the clock, saw it was exactly 5, and considered ignoring the call because I was technically done for the day. But since I was still feeling shitty about my overly long lunch, I considered it penance and answered.
Mark Garrity's, Ava, honey, Richard says you forgot your cell phone at his office.
I exhaled in a rush and sagged back into my chair. I could picture the handkerchief ringing that usually accompanied that particular anxious tone of my mother's. It drove me nuts, and it also broke my heart.
Hi, Mom. How are you? Oh, I'm lovely. Thank you.
My mom had a voice that was both girlish and breathy, like Marilyn Monroe crossed with Scarlett Johansson.
Clancy dropped your phone off with the concierge at your place. You really shouldn't go anywhere without it. You never know when you might need to call for someone.
I'd been debating the logistics of just keeping the phone and forwarding calls to a new number I didn't share with my mom. But that wasn't my biggest concern. What does Dr. Peterson say about you tracing my phone? The silence on the other end of the line was telling.
Dr. Peterson knows I worry about you.
Pinching the bridge of my nose, I said, I think it's time for us to have another joint appointment, Mom.
Oh, of course. He did mention that he'd like to see you again.
Probably because he suspects you're not being forthcoming. I changed the subject. I really like my new job.
That's wonderful, Ava. Is your boss treating you well?
Yes, he's great. I couldn't ask for anyone better.
Is he handsome?
I smiled. Yes, very. And he's taken.
Damn it. The good ones always are.
She laughed, and my smile widened. I loved it when she was happy. I wished she were happy more often.
I can't wait to see you tomorrow at the advocacy dinner.
Monica Trammell Barker Mitchell Stanton was in her element at society functions, a gilded, shining beauty who'd never lacked male attention in her life.
Let's make a day of it,
my mom said breathlessly.
You, me, and Carrie will go to the spa, get pretty and polished. I'm sure you could use a massage after working so hard. I won't turn one down, that's for sure. And I know Carrie will love it.
Oh, I'm excited. I'll send a car by your place around 11.
We'll be ready. After I hung up, I leaned back in my chair and exhaled, needing a hot bath and an orgasm. If Gideon Cross somehow found out I masturbated while thinking about him, I didn't care. Being sexually frustrated was weakening my position, a weakness I knew he wouldn't be sharing. No doubt he'd have a pre-approved orifice lined up before day's end. As I swapped out my heels for my walking shoes, my phone rang again. My mother was rarely distracted for long. The 5 minutes since we'd ended our call was just about the right length of time for her to realize the cell phone issue hadn't been resolved. Once again, I debated ignoring the phone, but I didn't want to take any of the day's crap home with me. I answered with my usual greeting, but it lacked its usual punch.
I'm still thinking about you.
The velvet rasp of Cross's voice flooded me with such relief that I realized I'd been hoping to hear it again. Today. God, the craving was so acute, I knew he'd become a drug to my body, the prime source of some very intense highs.
I can still feel you, Ava.
Still taste you. I've been hard since you left, through 2 meetings and 1 teleconference.
You've got the advantage. State your demands.
Ah, I murmured. Let me think. I let him wait, smiling as I remembered Carrie's comment about blue balls.
Nothing is coming to mind, but I do have some friendly advice. Go spend time with a woman who salivates at your feet and makes you feel like a god. Fuck her until neither of you can walk. When you see me on Monday, you'll be totally over it, and your life will return to its usual obsessive-compulsive order. The creak of leather sounded over the phone, and I imagined him leaning back in his desk chair.
That was your one free pass, Ava.
The next time you insult my intelligence, I'll take you over my knee.
I don't like that sort of thing. And yet the warning, given in that voice, aroused me. Dark and dangerous, for sure.
We'll discuss. In the interim, tell me what you do like.
I stood. You definitely have the voice for phone sex, but I've got to go. I have a date with my vibrator. I should have hung up then to gain the full effect of the brush off, but I couldn't resist learning if he'd gloat like I had imagined he would. Plus, I was having fun with him.
Oh, Ava.
Cross spoke my name in a decadent purr.
You're determined to drive me to my knees, aren't you? What will it take to talk you into a threesome with B.O.B.?
I ignored both questions as I slung my bag and purse over my shoulder, grateful he couldn't see how my hand shook. I was not discussing battery-operated boyfriends with Gideon Cross. I'd never discussed masturbation openly with a man, let alone a man who was, for all intents and purposes, a stranger to me. B.O.B. and I have a long-time understanding. When we're done with each other, we know exactly which one of us has been used, and it isn't me. Good night, Gideon. I hung up and took the stairs, deciding the 20-floor descent would serve double duty as both an avoidance technique and a replacement for a visit to the gym. I was so grateful to be home after the day I'd had that I practically danced through my apartment's front door. My heart felt, God, it's good to be home. An accompanying spin was vehement enough to startle the couple on the couch. Oh, I said, wincing at my own silliness. Carrie wasn't in a compromising position with his guest when I barged in, but they'd been sitting close enough to suggest intimacy. Grudgingly, I thought of Gideon Cross, who preferred to strip all intimacy out of the most intimate act I could imagine. I'd had one-night stands and friends with benefits, and no one knew better than I that sex and making love were 2 very different things, but I didn't think I'd ever be able to view sex like a handshake. I thought it was sad that Cross did, even though he wasn't a man who inspired pity or sympathy.
Hey, baby girl, Carrie called out, pushing to his feet.
I was hoping you'd make it back before Trey had to leave.
I have class in an hour, Trey explained, rounding the coffee table as I dropped my bag on the floor and put my purse on a bar stool at the breakfast bar. But I'm glad I got to meet you before I left.
Me too.
I shook the hand he extended to me, taking him in with a quick glance. He was about my age, I guessed. Average height and nicely muscular. He had unruly blonde hair, soft hazel eyes, and a nose that had clearly been broken at some point. Mind if I grab a glass of wine? I asked. It's been a long day.
Go for it, Trey replied.
I'll take one too.
Carrie joined us by the breakfast bar. He was wearing loose-fitting black jeans and an off-the-shoulder black sweater. The look was casual and elegant and did a phenomenal job of offsetting his dark brown hair and emerald eyes. I went to the wine fridge and pulled out a random bottle. Trey shoved his hands in the pockets of his jeans and rocked back on his heels, talking quietly with Carrie as I uncorked and poured. The phone rang and I grabbed the handset off the wall. Hello?
Hey, Ava, it's Parker Smith.
Parker, hi. I leaned my hip into the counter. How are you?
I hope you don't mind me calling. Your stepdad gave me your number.
Ugh. I had enough of Stanton for one day.
Not at all. What's up? Honestly, everything's looking up right now. Your stepdad is like my fairy godfather. He's funding a few safety improvements to the studio and some much-needed upgrades. That's why I'm calling. The studio is going to be out of commission next week. Classes will resume a week from Monday.
I closed my eyes, struggling to tamp down a flare of exasperation. It wasn't Parker's fault that Stanton and my mom were overprotective control freaks. Clearly, they didn't see the irony of defending me while I was surrounded by people trained to do that very thing.
Sounds good. I can't wait. I'm really excited to be training with you.
I'm excited, too. I'm going to work you hard, Ava. Your parents are going to get their money's worth.
I set a filled glass in front of Carrie and took a big gulp out of my own. It never ceased to amaze me how much cooperation money could buy. But again, that wasn't Parker's fault.
No complaints here.
We'll get started first thing next week. Your driver has the schedule.
Great. See you then.
I hung up and caught the glance Trey shot Carrie when he thought neither of us was looking. It was soft and filled with a sweet yearning, and it reminded me that my problems could wait.
I'm sorry I caught you on the way out, Trey. Do you have time for pizza Wednesday night? I'd love to do more than say hi and bye.
I have class. He gave me a regretful smile and shot another side glance at Carrie.
But I could come by on Tuesday.
That'd be great.
I smiled.
We could order in and have a movie night.
I'd like that.
I was rewarded with the kiss Carrie blew me as he headed to the door to show Trey out. When he returned to the kitchen, he grabbed his wine and said,
All right, spill it, Ava. You look stressed.
I am, I agreed, grabbing the bottle and moving into the living room.
It's Gideon Cross, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But I don't want to talk about him. Although Gideon's pursuit was exhilarating, his goal sucked.
Let's talk about you and Trey instead. How did you two meet?
I ran across him on a job. He's working part-time as a photographer's assistant.
Sexy, isn't he?
His eyes were bright and happy.
And a real gentleman, in an old-school way.
Who knew there were any of those left? I muttered, before polishing off my first glass.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. I'm sorry, Carrie. He seemed great, and he obviously digs you. Is he studying photography?
Veterinary medicine.
Wow. That's awesome.
I think so, too. But forget about Trey for a minute. Talk about what's bugging you.
Get it out.
I sighed.
My mom.
She found out about my interest in Parker's studio, and now she's freaking out.
What? How'd she find out? I swear I haven't told anyone.
I know you didn't. Never even crossed my mind.
Grabbing the bottle off the table, I refilled my glass.
Get this. She's been tracking my cell phone.
Carrie's brows rose. Seriously? That's creepy.
I know, right? That's what I told Stanton, but he doesn't want to hear it.
Well, hell.
He ran a hand through his long bangs.
So what do you do?
Get a new phone and meet with Dr. Peterson to see if he can't talk some sense into her.
Good move.
Turn it over to her shrink.
So, is everything okay with your job? Do you still love it?
Totally. My head fell back into the sofa cushions and my eyes closed. My work and you are my lifesavers right now.
What about the young, haughty bazillionaire who wants to nail you? Come on, Ava. You know I'm dying here. What happened?
I told him, of course. I wanted his take on it all. But when I finished, he was quiet. I lifted my head to look at him and found him bright-eyed and biting his lip. Carrie, what are you thinking?
I'm feeling kind of hot from that story.
He laughed, and the warm, richly masculine sound swept a lot of my irritation away.
He's got to be so confused right now. I would have paid money to see his face when you hit him with that bit he wanted to spank you over.
I can't believe he said that. Just remembering Cross's voice when he made that threat had my palms damp enough to leave steam on my glass.
What the hell is he into? Spanking's not deviant.
Besides, he was going for missionary on the couch, so he's not averse to the basics. He fell into the couch, a brilliant smile lighting up his handsome face.
You're a huge challenge to a guy who obviously thrives on them, and he's willing to make concessions to have you, which I'd bet he's not used to. Just tell him what you want.
I split the last of the wine between us, feeling marginally better with a bit of alcohol in my veins. What did I want? Aside from the obvious, we're totally incompatible.
Is that what you call what happened on his couch?
Carrie, come on. Boil it down. He picked me up off the lobby floor and then asked me to fuck. That's really it. Even a guy I take home from a bar has more going for him than that.
Hey, what's your name? Come here often? Who's your friend? What are you drinking? Like to dance? Do you work around here?
All right, I get it. He set his glass down on the table.
Let's go out. Hit a bar. Dance till we drop. Maybe meet some guys who will talk you up some?
Or at least buy me a drink.
Hey, Cross offered you one of those in his office.
I shook my head and stood. Whatever. Let me take a shower and we'll go. I threw myself into clubbing like it was going out of style. Carrie and I bounced all over downtown clubs from Tribeca to the East Village, wasting stupid money on cover charges and having a fabulous time. I danced until my feet felt like they were going to fall off. But I toughed it out until Carrie complained about his heeled boots first. We just stumbled out of a techno-pop club with a plan to buy me flip-flops at a nearby Walgreens when we ran across a hawker promoting a lounge a few blocks away.
Great place to get off your feet for a while, he said, without the usual flashy smile or exaggerated hype most of the hawkers employed.
His clothes, black jeans and turtleneck, were more upscale, which intrigued me, and he didn't have flyers or postcards. What he handed me was a business card made from papyrus paper and printed with a gilded font that caught the light of the electric signage around us. I made a mental note to hang on to it as a great piece of print advertising. A stream of quickly moving pedestrians flowed around us. Carrie squinted down at the lettering, having a few more drinks in him than I had.
Look swank!
Show them that card, the hawker urged. You'll skip the cover.
Sweet!
Carrie linked arms with me and dragged me along.
Let's go! You might find a quality guy in a swanky joint.
My feet were seriously killing me by the time we found the place, but I quit bitching when I saw the charming entrance. The line to get in was long, extending down the street and around the corner. Amy Winehouse's soulful voice drifted out of the open door, as did well-dressed customers who exited with big smiles.
True to the hawker's word, the business card was a magic key that granted us immediate and free entrance. A gorgeous hostess led us upstairs to a quieter VIP bar that overlooked the stage and dance floor below. We were shown to a small seating area by the balcony and settled at a table hugged by two half-moon velvet sofas. She propped a beverage menu in the center and said,
"Your drink's on the house. Enjoy your evening."
"Wow," Carrie whistled. "We scored."
"I think that hawker recognized you from an ad."
"Wouldn't that rock?"
He grinned.
"God, it's a great night. Hanging out with my best girl and crushing on a new hunk in my life."
"Oh?"
"I think I've decided to see where things go with Trey."
That made me happy. It felt like I'd been waiting forever for him to find someone who'd treat him right. "Has he asked you out yet?"
"No, but I don't think it's because he doesn't want to."
He shrugged and smoothed his artfully ripped t-shirt. Paired with black leather pants and spiked wristlets, it made him look sexy and wild.
"I just think he's trying to figure out the situation with you first. He wigged when I told him I lived with a woman and that I'd moved across the country to be with you. He's worried I might be bi-curious and secretly hung up on you. That's why I wanted you two to meet today, so he could see how you and I are together."
"I'm sorry, Carrie. I'll try to put him at ease about it."
"It's not your fault. Don't worry about it. It'll work out if it's supposed to."
His assurances didn't make me feel better. I tried to think if there was a way I could help. Two guys stopped by our table.
"Okay if we join you?" the taller one asked.
I glanced at Carrie, and then back at the guys. They looked like brothers, and they were very attractive. Both were smiling and confident, their stances loose and easy. I was about to say, "Sure," when a warm hand settled on my bare shoulder and squeezed firmly.
"This one's taken."
Across from me, Carrie gaped as Gideon Cross rounded the sofa and extended his hand to him.
"Taylor." "Gideon Cross."
"Carrie Taylor."
He shook Gideon's hand with a wide smile.
"But you knew that. Nice to meet you. I've heard a lot about you."
I could have killed him. I seriously thought about it.
"Good to know."
Gideon settled on the seat beside me, his arm draped behind me so that his fingertips could brush casually and possessively up and down my arm.
"Maybe there's hope for me yet."
Twisting at the waist, I faced him and whispered fiercely, "What are you doing?" He shot me a hard glance.
"Whatever it takes."
"I'm going to dance."
Carrie stood with a mischievous grin.
"Be back in a bit."
Ignoring my pleading glance, my best friend blew me a kiss, and the guys followed him. I watched them all go, my heart racing. After another minute, ignoring Gideon became ridiculous, as well as impossible. My gaze slid over him. He wore dress slacks in graphite gray and a black V-neck sweater, the overall effect being one of careless sophistication. I loved the look on him and was attracted to the softness it gave him, even though I knew it was only an illusion. He was a hard man in a lot of ways. I took a deep breath, feeling like I needed to make an effort to socialize with him. After all, wasn't that my big complaint? That he wanted to skip past the getting-to-know-you stage and jump straight into bed?
"You look..." I paused. "Fantastic. Wonderful, amazing, so damn sexy."
In the end, I went with the lame. "I like the way you look." His brow arched.
"Ah, something you like about me. Is that a general like of the overall package, or just the clothes? Only the sweater, or maybe it's the pants?"
The edge to his tone rubbed me the wrong way. "And if I say it's just the sweater?"
"I'll buy a dozen and wear them every damn day."
"That would be a shame."
"You don't like the sweater?"
He was pissy, his words coming clipped and fast. My hands flexed restlessly in my lap. "I love the sweater, but I also like the suits." He stared at me a minute,
and then nodded.
How was your date with B.O.B.?
Oh, hell. I looked away. It was a lot easier talking about masturbation over the phone. Doing it while squirming under that piercing blue stare was mortifying.